Destination Freedom. Station WMAQ presents Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, and a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. Today we tell the story of the great contralto Marian Anderson in a chapter entitled Choir Girl from Philadelphia.
It was a cool Easter afternoon in Washington, D.C., when the tall girl from Philadelphia walked towards the stairs of the Lincoln Memorial. She walked through the crowd of 75,000 clerks and carpenters, ditch diggers, judges, lawyers, porters, people who had come 100 miles to hear a concert, to watch the tall woman walk up the stairs and stand under the stone figure of Abraham Lincoln. And the crowd became as quiet as old Abe and waited for her to speak. She looked to her accompanist, and he touched the key. And she looked down the long flight of stairs she had climbed, closed her eyes as she was ready to sing, and for an instant thought of the other stairs, 15 years back, on Madonna Street in Philadelphia, where two tall girls with scrub bucket and brushes battled to push back dirt on the marble steps.
Marian! Marian, wait! Rest a minute. I'm tired.
Huh?
Don't you get tired? I don't think we'll ever make it up all these stairs.
Oh, well, we've got to.
Why have we got to? I'm tired.
It's the only way to get the quarter. Mrs. Hadley says if we get the quarter, we finish them. She says...
I know, but it's crazy.
Oh, darling.
Scrubbing all these steps just to get money to buy a violin.
Aren't you going to help me?
I said I would. But Marian Anderson, I wish you weren't my best friend, honest. Just to get money to buy a violin.
It's not the violin, it's the music, darling.
I know. You think it's going to be like in books. Start at the bottom and go to the top. If this wasn't so near Christmas, I'd stop here.
Half the quarter will go for you, half for me.
All right. You count this as my Christmas gift. Uh-oh, the landlady's coming down.
You girls scrubbing or gossiping?
Oh, we're washing.
You expect to finish these things next week by Christmas?
We'll be through today, Mrs. Hadley.
Well, here's the quarter, I promise.
Thanks.
Well, there's more steps down the street that need attending to. If you expect to earn $10, Marion, you'd better get a move on. Now, hurry, girl.
Say, $10. We'll be scrubbing years to make that.
That's what the violin costs.
Well, I'm sorry. Friendship, but this is as far as I'm climbing. Hereafter, Marian Anderson, if you want money for your music, you'll climb these steps alone. I'm through.
Hey, Dorothy!
The tall girl looked up the long flight of marble stairs and at the other stairs that zigzagged out of the buildings down the street. Counted up how many quarters it would take to buy a violin. Weighed it against wanting to quit, and went back to her scrubbing. And in the evening, she went home and avoided the eyes of her curious father.
Ellen, let me see your hands, child.
Here, Father.
Red as beets. What have you been up to?
I've been working.
Working? Nonsense. It's hard enough to get you to do a lick of work in the house. Don't tell me you do it outside. Now, I don't know what you're up to, Marian.
No.
But...
Leave Marian alone. It's true. She's been scrubbing steps on Madonna Street. She's earning money to study music.
Music?
It's just the violin I'm getting, Father. I'm giving up singing.
She knows we can't afford singing lessons, so she's going to get an instrument. But, Tom, you ought to figure a way she can get lessons.
If she's got the gift, she don't need lessons. We can't afford to throw money away.
I know, Father. That's why I'm going to buy the violin. Something I can just practice on myself.
Violin. You're an odd girl, Miriam. Even before you could speak the language, you were trying to sing it. Now,
Tom.
I don't aim to deny my daughter, But I can't see no sense in her learning to sing.
Marion does.
Oh, she does. But before she earns enough to buy a violin, I think she'll come to her senses. When she climbs to the top of all them streets on Madonna Street, she's a different daughter.
But the tall girl kept scrubbing, and she kept climbing, and the steps shone white in the sunlight. Until one day she put up her bucket, counted her coins, and took them to the second-hand dealer.
6, 7, 8, $9 Well, never thought you'd get the money.
Is the violin ready?
Well, I'll get it. Here. Know how to play it?
No, but I got a book that tells how.
Oh, a book? I thought you told me once you wanted to be a singer. You're one of the Anderson girls, aren't you?
Yes.
Is your father old Tom Anderson, the coal and ice dealer?
Yes.
Well, when Tom hears you play this violin, he'll give you singing lessons, even if it breaks him.
The girl tucked the violin under her arm, and all through the Christmas holidays, the house of the Andersons heard the scream of the bow against tortured fiddle strings. Until one night, the head of the Anderson house surrendered.
Marion?
Yes, Father. Oh, you come to hear me play?
No. I've been thinking about your singing lessons.
Yes?
You know my health's not what it used to be.
Oh. Does the violin bother you?
Well, we sure can't afford lessons. But suppose we go over to the Baptist church and see George Parker, the choir leader. Maybe there's something he can teach you while you're looking for the right kind of teacher like your mother says you need.
And the violin forgotten, the tall girl went with her father to the Union Baptist Church and met choir leader Parker.
George, this is my daughter, Mary.
Nice meeting you.
The one who's always singing, wanting to. And I wonder if you would test her out. You understand what I mean, George?
I think I know what you mean.
Good. Then I'll leave you, and you can audition her. I haven't felt well today, and I can't stay around and be tortured. Much obliged to you, George.
Don't mention it. Now, Marion, just what are you? Alto, soprano, tenor, maybe bass.
Well, Mr. Parker, to be truthful, I sing in all four ranges.
Oh, nonsense, girl. One is your right voice. The others are assumed. Now, if you'll just come into the studio, we'll find out what your range is.
And when the choir leader finished, he walked the tall girl home.
Well, George, can you use her?
What do you think of her voice?
I came to tell you.
Don't tell me you're not going to use her.
Well, I am, but I don't know where.
What do you mean?
Well, for a girl, she has a rather odd range.
Yeah, she is not tall for her age.
No, I didn't mean that. She sings bass on up to soprano. Seems comfortable.
Is that good or bad?
Oh, can't tell yet. But if somehow she can blend all those into one, she might have a wonderful voice. The kind of voice that comes along once in a long, long while.
It better come sooner than that. When is she going to earn a living?
Well, let her sing a while. When she gets her voice under control, she might do even more than earn a living.
And the tall girl listened and thought she was climbing her steps. In the calm of the church, she learned folk songs and work songs, spirituals and classics. And the lessons were bringing her voices together. Then one day, she came home to sing for her father.
Father! Father! Tonight I'm going to sing in a concert. Father!
Marion.
Oh, Mother, I want you and Father to come.
Marion, I want you to listen to me first.
What? What is this?
Your father won't be able to hear you sing anymore. He died while you were away.
The singing stopped a long while, until the first lady of the house took her daughter aside and questioned her.
Marian voice.
It's not the voice. It seems that Father died. Since he worked so hard to see that I had time to go to the choir, I feel I should stop singing and go out to work.
Singing can be work, too. You once thought so.
Yeah, I did.
Well?
I did, but now it doesn't seem as if I can do it. It seems such a long, hard way to climb up where people can hear me. And I don't think I can climb anymore.
You've dropped a long way from the little girl who climbed up all the stairs on Madonna Street. Look at your mother. Life for me ain't been no crystal fair. It's had tacks in it and splinters, boards torn up, places with no carpet on the floor. There. But all the time, I kept a-climbing up, turning corners, and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't no light. So don't you run back. Don't you sit down on the stairs, because you find it's kind of hard. Don't fall now. I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
The tall girl listened and went back to climbing the stairs. And one evening, choir leader Parker had a report to make.
Mrs. Anderson, the folks around the churches in Philadelphia have sort of gotten together and decided about your daughter.
Yes?
We don't know what'll happen when that girl gets control over those voices of hers.
You don't have any idea?
Well, sometimes a singer like this comes along and sounds good for a while, but when she does get control, there's nothing.
You think that'll be this way with me?
No. There are 2,000 people in Philadelphia who believe the world will hear something wonderful if Marian learns to sort of, well, pool her voices into one. They set up a fund. They're calling it the Marian Anderson Teacher Fund. Here's $2,000 to start. With it, you can find a real teacher. We know it'll be a hard climb getting into a good music conservatory.
She's used to climbing. She'll make it.
The girl started her climb again. And now it was up the steps of the music conservatories in the city.
Miss Anderson, we're sorry, but this conservatory already has its quota of Jews and Negroes. Perhaps next year. Sorry.
We just can't take non-white students, young lady. It's against our policy.
There just isn't any place in our school you'd fit in, young lady. There just isn't any place.
Sorry.
No place for you.
I'm sorry.
You just wouldn't
get in.
They were sorry, but she kept knocking on the doors of the conservatories with the funds the folks in Philadelphia had collected. And one evening, she came to choir rehearsal and learned that the choir leader had opened the door for her.
Marian, you won't need to rehearse this evening. I've made an appointment for Giuseppe Borghetti to hear you sing.
Borghetti?
Yes.
He's supposed to be the best teacher in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he is. And he's willing to hear you tonight.
But I haven't prepared anything.
You need nothing but your voice. Got the voice we believe you have, you won't need to worry. Now, run along.
The tall girl ran along until she got to the office of the teacher. He was tired. There was an edge in his voice when he saw a nervous girl standing before him.
You're 10 minutes late.
I'm sorry. I had to run all the way.
All right. Let's get it over with. What'll it be?
I'll sing one of the songs I've sung in churches, if you don't mind.
I'm waiting.
The girl took a step to the center of the room. While the tired teacher listened, she merged all her voices into one. She sang a song she'd sung 100 times. And when she finished, Bogetti was wide awake.
Your young woman, it is not you who should have come to me to learn. I should have come to you.
And for the first time, the tall girl had a teacher who understood and who worked with her on the scope of her voice. And when a year had passed, he placed her in a contest at a national concert. He talked to his singer before she took the stage.
Now, this is going to be our biggest chance.
I know.
You're nervous, but you needn't be. The prize is a chance to sing with the New York Philharmonic. There are 300 competitors. You're the last. If the judges will hear you, you'll win.
They haven't heard out any of the singers yet.
Yes, I've noticed. When you start, keep singing until you've finished. Even if the judges ring the gong, keep right on singing. Now, go on up. Good luck.
The girl went to the judges and stood before them.
I don't know, well, young lady, your name. Just stand there.
Marion. Anderson.
And where are you from?
Where have you studied? There's nothing on your application here.
This is not an amateur contest, you know.
I know, but I'd like to try anyway.
You know the rules of the contest. As soon as Judge Whipple taps the gong, it means we've heard enough. Now your selection.
Ave Maria.
We've only heard that 5 times today. Judge Whipple, be ready with the gong.
It's ready.
Go on, young lady.
Then she gathered up her song and began to unfold it before the ears of the judges. Judges sounded the gong, but the singer didn't stop. The gong stopped. She sang on. And when she finished, the judges had a conference and gave a decision.
It's the decision of the judges that the winner of the contest is Miss Anderson. There will be a retrial of any other contestant who wants it, but until a greater voice appears, she is the winner.
No greater voice ever appeared. And the tall girl who'd scrubbed marble stairs to start singing had taken a long jump up the stairway. She went singing in concerts across the country. There were those who stopped, listened, marveled at the musician, but moved on. She sang concert classics and continental folk airs, spiritual and operatic arias, and the applause was heavy. Still, they listened and moved on. And some of them criticized. And the singer's teacher heard the remarks and called in his pupil.
I have been thinking that we are starting out on the wrong track.
What do you mean?
I mean these Americans. Sometimes funny people. First they have this blind spot in their eyes when it comes time to recognize a Negro artist. Then another spot when it's time to recognize a native artist. Therefore, Miss Anderson, suppose we start first in my country.
Italy?
Italy, France, Germany, Russia, in Europe. I believe if Europe hears you, recognizes your greatness, most Americans will open their eyes and ears and really listen, no?
Well, I don't know. Things are unsettled in Europe. They won't have time for an American singer.
It's a bold step, but it's a chance. Are you willing to take this step?
I'm willing.
She took the step and asked her mother to come and said,
if you'll go too, I won't be afraid to sing. You'll sit in the audience and When I come out, I'll be singing for you, and I'll forget the others around me and sing the way I sing at home. Very well, child. I'll go.
And when the night came to open in Paris, the girl from Philadelphia waited in the wings and watched the curious crowds gather to hear the dark American and was nervous.
Miss Anderson, the test will be over in another hour. You've got to make it.
I will. I always wonder if they'll understand my feeling when I sing their song.
You sing the way you sang in Philadelphia. They'll understand. Here they are concerned about your contralto, not so much with your color.
When it came time to step before the Parisian audience, she fastened her eyes on a woman in the middle and sang the way she sang in the choir. Sang in French and German and Spanish and Russian, and the applause poured in from Poland to London. The voice that came only once in 100 years hurried home and sang again in New York, Chicago, and across the country. And one rainy day, while awaiting a train in a Tennessee town, she heard an old note.
What? All aboard.
Yes, the conductor, here. Our tickets.
Our tickets.
Of course, the lady and I are traveling.
We're in a hurry, conductor, if you don't mind.
Fine, but you'll have to wait for the next train.
What's the matter with this one?
The second color's not on yet. Be down on track soon. You going, mister? The
conductor, we've got to make a concert in Chicago. We cannot wait.
You can't do nothing else. Colored passengers ride on one coach, whites on another. It's the law.
Listen, the lady's not feeling well, and I'm afraid...
Signor Borghetti, you needn't explain to the conductor. He won't understand. We'll wait.
You coming up, mister?
I will wait, too.
Suit yourself. You get soaking wet out here. All aboard!
The train pulled out. And the tall girl and a teacher waited in the rain for the Jim Crow coach. And when she had arrived in the city, there was a deep cold that began as she rehearsed for the concert.
You'll have to be careful, Miss Anderson. We'll open the concert with songs you've known a long time. Start with this one. You ready? Well, why aren't you beginning?
I want to, but I can't seem to sing.
The incident in Tennessee made you nervous. We'll try again.
Nobody knows the trouble I...
That will be enough. We will cancel the concert. You'll see it...
No, I think in a few minutes it'll be all right. It's just a cold... Go on, I'll try.
The choir girl tried, until her teacher finally had to insist.
Somehow the colds affected your voice. The only thing we can do is to rest, to hope, and try again.
And she went home to Philadelphia, walked down the streets past the steps she had once scrubbed, and was weary, and said she was through singing.
Through? You're quitting, Marion?
Mother, it's no use. My voice is gone.
But half the people in the country are still waiting to hear you. Besides, you haven't finished climbing the stairs, child. Let them hear you again.
If they haven't heard me now, they never will.
Nonsense. You rest, and you start climbing again. Remember when you used to lose one voice and then just switch to another?
It's not like that anymore.
You're just tired. Rest a while. Climb the stairway again. Oh, I know it's got tacks in it and splinters and places where there ain't no light. But but go on. I'm still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair either.
The tall girl listened and rested, and went back to climbing the stairs, and signed to sing in Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C., until her teacher received a letter that spoke.
The Daughters of the American Revolution wish to inform you that Constitution Hall is not available to Negro artists, and therefore your Marian Anderson is canceled.
But there were people across the world who had heard the Philadelphia girls sing, and their voices rose like thunder, and they gathered in the open plaza away from the hall to welcome and wait for the tall woman to walk up the stairway of the Lincoln Monument. And when she closed her eyes and sang, she thought of the marble steps on Madonna Street she had first climbed. She finished. The choir girl who had started at the bottom of the stairs stood at the top, and halls were open to her. They never closed again.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of Marian Anderson. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Bob Wombold. The role of Marian Anderson was played by Weslin Tilden, and that of the narrator by Arthur Peterson. Others were Janice Kingslow, Fred Pinkard, Gladys Williams, Oscar Brown, and George Kluge. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen and Morris Lishan. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will present the story of Willard Motley. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.